You're listening to Nick Treadwell's Storyville. Ode to a Library, a poem in praise of public libraries. With a library, you are free, not confined by temporary political climates. It is the most democratic of institutions because no one, but no one at all, can tell you what to read and when and how. Doris Lessing. As a result of funding cuts by Birmingham City Council, there is now a proposal to reduce the library services budget by up to 40%. This would mean that many beloved local libraries around Birmingham would need to close. Staff levels would be reduced, transferring library services to other non-council-owned locations and creating an unspecified number of hub libraries. This plan would be an unprecedented disaster for anyone that uses the vitally important services provided by our public libraries, which lie at the heart of our communities. A campaign called Birmingham Loves Libraries has been formed by members of the public in order to try and overturn this decision and get Birmingham City Council to realise just how important our local libraries are. You can find the website for the campaign and also details of how to get involved, including signing a petition to show your support, over at birminghamloveslibraries.org. By way of a kind of tribute to my own experience with libraries, I thought it'd be interesting to revisit some of my memories through the years. Those of us of a certain generation will have special memories of those first few visits to our local public lending library. The musky smell of wooden shelves and the old books that sat on them. The muted atmosphere that hit you when you entered, punctuated only by whispered questions to the watchers, the librarians, whose eyes seemed to be everywhere, waiting with a shh should a voice be raised too loudly above the silence. Where can I find a book about hang gliding? Or, have you got anything about the life cycle of the dung beetle? Endless queries that kept coming through the door, seeking answers from the know-it-all librarians and the neatly stacked tomes that stood ready to reveal their secrets. All the while in the background, the soft kaplonk of the date stamp as books were checked out. On and on it went, kaplonk, kaplonk, like an automated hammer in an industrialised factory. But it wasn't helping to construct anything. It was instead freeing books. For 28 days they were allowed out into the community under supervision of their lenders. As kids we were hardly afforded anything for free, except perhaps for the milk we received at school. So imagine the excitement and wonder of going into a library and coming out with a handful of books of all shapes and sizes that could literally transport you anywhere in space and time. I could travel back to the Earth's distant past of dinosaurs, volcanoes and cavemen, or zip into the future, punctuated by strange creatures from Mars. This was the hook that pulled some of us into a lifelong cycle of borrow and return. When you brought back your books, there was always something shiny and enticingly new waiting to be brought home. It was always my mum that took me to the library, usually as part of a shopping trip to King Standing Circle, near our home in the north of Birmingham. On the way back, we would stop off at King Standing Library and she would head straight to the rotating bookstand that housed the Mills and Boone romance books. I don't know how she managed it, but she would get through around 8 of these within a week. Maybe she was employing some kind of speed reading technique in order to get through the juicy bits. She also used to take a peek at the endings first, maybe to get an idea of whether the whole book was worth reading. She would read early in the morning, while cooking, and in the afternoon after coming home from work. She must have read the entire collection of Mills and Boone several times over, but I never remember her reading much of anything else. Meanwhile, I would be in the children's section, sitting on the big mat, pulling out random spines from one of the huge wooden bookcases that span the wall. Worlds would unfurl before my eyes as I opened up these picture books. Fantastical places full of strange new words that I couldn't even pronounce. I think part of the allure of the library for me was that it seemed like a place of safety. There was something cozy and warm about it. It was a place where I could lose myself in and disappear from the world. As a child, I was incredibly shy, and I felt quite at home within its silent atmosphere, where there was no pressure to speak or be heard. By the time I started at the big comprehensive school, I was a seasoned regular at the library. Books of all kinds had come home with me. Hobbies were enhanced, fantasies were elaborated, and my knowledge of Earth and beyond increased as I borrowed books on space and beyond. As a result, my comprehension and reading skills improved. I started popping into Perry Common Library on the way home from school, as a way of balancing out my usually awful day, finding solace in the endless possibilities on the shelves. By the time I left school, libraries were changing, offering new services such as music recordings. The libraries that gave me a good, thorough grounding in classical music were Sutton Coldfield and Birmingham Central Library, both of which had substantial collections of CDs from all genres. Libraries also began to be the place for happenings, events and gatherings. I went to see performances of poetry and talks on a variety of subjects. At King's Heath Library, I attended a series of talks given by a group called the Gnostic Society, which nearly ended up in me being indoctrinated into a cult. A library would be the first place I would experience the information superhighway and the World Wide Web. For months, I attended libraries in order to get online and was able to set up my first crude homepage and gasp at what would eventually change the face of the modern library and how we experience books and reading. Out went the big clunky microfiche readers and in came computers. When I moved over to the Black Country in 2004, the first thing I did was join the library, eventually taking my own son to the library in Blackheath. I've also performed my own poetry in libraries over the years when I had the opportunity. I still use the service even now. After moving home in the last few years, I'm now a member of the Dudley Library Region. I've no doubt that should libraries survive these hard times, they will play a part in my senior years. Libraries in the community have done an incredible amount of good over the years, providing vital services such as internet access, study space, local history archives, shared reading groups, tea and coffee mornings for the elderly, unemployment support groups, literacy skills training, and a wide variety of community clubs. When I started thinking about writing a poetical tribute to libraries, I eventually settled on the English Ode, consisting of 10 lines to each stanza, with a rhyme scheme of AB, AB, CDE, CDE. During its creation, I came to the conclusion that there was something intrinsically magical about holding a physical book, and even more special about a building full to the brim with them, each one with the potential to inspire, educate, and entertain. Every book in the library has sat in the hands of hundreds, maybe thousands of readers throughout countless generations, and those patrons in return will have imprinted that book with their own energy, making it a unique object. This is something that digital books could never hope to compete with, because they don't really exist except on a screen. Don't get me wrong, there is a place for digital copies. They can serve space and are portable, but they should never replace the real McCoy, but coexist with them, side by side. It seems to me that our libraries not only unite our communities physically, but also in a metaphysical sense, by way of this residual energy being stored like a battery and retained in each book from each reader, which in turn is passed on to the next borrower, and so on and on, ad infinitum. And so it has always been, and should be, for generations to come. Ode to a Public Library. As a child, a trip to you was a treat. Outside, the rumble of traffic shielded by an airlock leading to your shushed retreat, where hours stretched and minutes compacted. Mom sought romance in Mills and Boone, while I pulled open every neatly shelved spine, walking sticky fingers across strange new words, Wonka, Snoopy, Poppins and Pooh. Timeless tales that stayed in my young mind, written in penguins, puffins and ladybirds. Beyond boyhood's lost innocence, I reached out for richer pickings. You opened yourself in synthesis. offered covers with juicier fillings. For you became the school of me, a fertile field where desires were grown far away from the mocking eyes of class, a safe house of self-discovery, where knowledge was free to own without the censorship of a pass. It was your collected possibility that bade me yearn to learn, which nurtured the aesthete within me, so turn the pages of eternal return. I built a map from what was borrowed, that meandered through analogous lands, with passion its Polaris shining bright, along life's long winding road, worlds you placed in my hands, inspiring imagination with flight. You've adapted to the challenge of change, balanced the relevance of old and new, where the clouds of code and printed page, you survived, found a way through. So, let whispers rise into rapture, from the chorus of community, to honour your catalogue of treasures, where verses, stanzas and chapters hold spaces for untapped creativity, amid quietly contemplated pleasures. Thanks for listening to this episode of Nick Treadwell's Storyville. Please subscribe if you liked what you heard, and be sure to check out my Substack blog, Letters from Storyville, at nicktreadwell.substack.com.